you know, we're going back to Ephesians 4, and we'll probably start at the first verse. And he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. This is what we do, saints. We have to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds, in the bonds of peace. Can't you see where we're so intricate right now? We're so important to the world and things that's happening in the world right now. If we just take our place as the church, the preachers, the teachers, the bishops, the apostles, take your place. It's time for you to shine. It's time for that God that you've had in you for years and years and years. It's time to let him shine. Bring him out in the name of Jesus. You know, we are one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, meaning whatever office, whatever gift that you're called in, we only have one spirit, we only have one hope. That's what we have. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. He's supposed to be in us. And if the Spirit of God is in us, there's no hate in us. It's only love.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual One Fan Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at EvangelistWonderFam or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all
Alexander
together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. And our reader is going to read it nice and slow for you so you can hear, and as you hear, you can see it in your own Bible. Amen. Read them.
Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret thing belong unto the Lord our God.
Mm-hmm.
But those things which are revealed belong unto us,
mm-hmm,
and to our children,
mm-hmm,
forever.
Amen.
That we may do all the words of this law.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, pass it on. Pass it on. It's important to understand that Moses has just finished sharing blessings and cursings before the people for them to choose life or choose death by their choices, by their actions, and by their conduct. It is important to understand that God and Moses, the man of God, wanted the people of God to choose life, choose blessings, choose the way of God, choose to walk in his word, in his will, and in his way. And if they chose not to accept his word, will, and way, then there were cursings that doubled the blessings. And so when you read this, you're going to understand and discover that the blessings that God has placed before us take us from one good degree to the next degree. But the cursings curse us both in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come. And so this is a word that when he finishes sharing with the people of God, that he wants them to understand, because there is a reality in serving a true and living God. And he does not want them to mistake the fact that God sits up high, but he looks down low. He sees everything. He knows everything. He hears everything. He's in every place. So there is no fooling God. Moses said, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. And I want to talk about one, impossibilities. Because what Moses is saying, those things that are impossible belong to God. The secrets, the mysteries, the hidden things belong to God. They are the deeper things. They're the things that are so wonderful that we could not ever fully comprehend what God is saying or doing. And so because of that, God keeps those things from us. Jesus tells Nicodemus, listen, Nicodemus, there are so many wonderful things I'd like to share with you, but if you can't understand earthly things, how can you understand heavenly things? Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He didn't know whether he was in the flesh or just in the spirit, because the experience was so real to him that God made it unlawful for him to tell any other man what he had seen and what he had heard. John the Baptist on the Isle of Patmos, exiled there, was shown a revelation of Jesus Christ and things yet to come. He revealed some pretty horrible things, but he saw some other things that he was not permitted to tell us about. Those are the hidden things, the secret things, the mystery that God holds within his own person and power, that he recognizes one is too wonderful for us. Somebody say, too wonderful for us. You remember when Job had questioned God and God had enough of him, God started questioning him? Job, where were you when I hung the skies and the sun and the moon and the stars? Job, where were you when I rode the zigzag lightning against the black bosom of the heavens? Job, where were you? And Job, when he got through asking Job all these questions, Job said, Lord, I couldn't answer that because those things were too wonderful for me. I had no idea, no concept of what you were doing. I couldn't understand you on your order. And so as a result of that, God was trying to say and is saying to us, stop trying to be so deep. One of the things that made Jesus' ministry so authentic and attractive was the fact that he made things simple. The deepest man that ever walked planet Earth, that knew secrets both of heaven and hell, not to mention Earth, and yet he made things as simple as impossible. Wasn't trying to show all his knowledge. We couldn't handle his knowledge. Wasn't showing all his mysteries. We couldn't handle his mystery. Couldn't show all his mastery because we couldn't handle his mastery. They were too wonderful for us. But not only are they too wonderful, they're too weighty. Too weighty. There are some things that's so heavy that if God were to reveal them to us, it'll blow our minds. You talk about in a quandary. You talk about confused and dazed and perplexed. You talk about don't know which way to turn. You don't know if you're coming or going up or down or turning around. You talk about being confused if God laid some of the weight on you that's on him. Matter of fact, God said, listen, if I were hungry, I wouldn't even tell you about it. Because you couldn't do nothing about it. But yet I feed you every day, all day, and never run out. It's weighty. It's weighty. But not only is it wonderful and weighty, but it's wearisome. Isaiah 40:28 says, has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, he doesn't get weak. You can't wear him out. And you can't figure out what he's doing. I like to remind us of that every now and then because we don't understand. Listen, we all can call on the Lord individually at one time, and he can hear all of us calling on him at one time and answer us all at one time because he does not faint. We can't put too much on God. We can't tell God the heaviest thing and think it's going to bother God. Here's what you need to know. God knew it before it happened. God saw it before time began. God can handle anything. And it bothers God when we don't learn how to take our troubles to him and leave them there. But if God would have revealed some of the mysteries of heaven and his knowledge, it would be too wearisome for us. Because there are things that happen to us right now. We're still asking why, Lord? What God? Where God? When God? How God? Because we can't even handle the things that happen now. Right now, we fall apart when a little thing happened to us. We act like God has abandoned and forsaken us because he permits us to go through some stuff that's going to strengthen us. That's going to develop us. That's going to define us. And we become weary over it because we don't want to go through nothing. But yet we want to be closer to him. The closer you get to him, the more he'll make you feel. You need to get ready for that. Lord, I want to be just to be close to you. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? But you don't know there's a cost to be close. There are things you've got to let go in order to be close. There are things you've got to do in order to be close. Many times it's too much for us to bear. So leave the impossibilities to God. He specializes in impossibilities. I wish I had a witness in the house. But then secondly, the word says, but those things which are revealed belong to unto us and to our children for how long? Forever. Now somebody say, possibilities. See, God says, leave the impossibilities to me, and you handle the possible things. I'll leave the possible things to you. Why is this important? Because what God wants us to see is what he has revealed is what he wants us to know. Listen to me well. And what he wants us to know, we can handle. And if we can handle it, he wants us to do it. Did you get what I just said? If God doesn't reveal something to you, it's because he doesn't want you to know it, because you can't handle it. And what do we do? Go snooping. Go picking. Go calling, asking, trying to find out. Listen, if God wants you to know something, he'll reveal it to you. You ain't got to go run looking. You ain't got to go trying to hide no, find no investigator. You ain't got, God will let you walk right up on. Matter of fact, God will leave you in your bed dreaming and show you everything that happened. Yeah, I ain't talking to no real people in the house. I'm trying to tell you what God wants you to know. He knows how to get it to you. And you didn't even have to ask for it. Here, the word says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. That's facts. That's written records. That's experiences. That's witnesses. All of those things that are revealed to us, God wants us to know them for a purpose. That's why the Bible says, the people of God perish for a lack of knowledge. Now listen to this. But the knowledge that they perish from is the fact that he has given them a written record and they won't read it. Not because he's hid it from them, but because they won't use what they've got. They're asking God, God, such and such and such, if it be your will, we'll open up the record and see if it's his will. It's in the Bible. You don't have to pray amiss, as James said, many of us. Some of us don't ask, and then the others of us who do ask, ask amiss. In other words, they don't hit the bullseye. They hit all around it because they don't know what they ought to be asking for. Here's what you need to know. That first of all, you've got to know what it is God wants you to desire. The Bible says, very simply, Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. How do I delight myself in the Lord? In his word, in his spirit, in his presence. I delight myself in the Lord. He reveals himself in his word, in his spirit, in his presence. See, sometimes you just need to be where the Lord is moving and operating and flowing and get into it. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to wonder this and wonder that. Just trust God. Trust him. He gives you the revelation of information for a purpose to better your life. Paul says, all things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. In other words, these 66 books you have called the Bible were put together because God thought it necessary basic information before leaving earth. And if you will recognize, listen, This is not everything there is for you to know, but he figures if you just do what you do out of these 66 books, you will occupy till he comes. We trying to do, God is doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in you. Ain't nothing new under the heavens. That's what the word says. But it's new to you, and you won't act like just because it's new to you, it's new to everybody. No. What he reveals to you, he reveals for you to do at the time he reveals it to you, or to prepare yourself to do it. And the devil don't want you to know this. When God wants you to know where he wants you to go, at the time he wants you to go, he reveals it. He just wants you to prepare to go. Get yourself together. If you ain't got no job, he at least wants you to get up, take a shower, clean yourself up, put some clothes on, and at least be ready to go find one. You'll be surprised where you find work at. If you want to work. But then the next part makes it clear that we may do all the words of this law. That's participation. Participation. It doesn't make any sense to know it and don't do it. James said that makes you a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. The only reason why he wants you to hear the word is so you can do the word. Not just hear the word so you can know the word, but hear the word so you can know what it is God wants you to do. And when you know what it is he wants you to do, do it. Paul writes Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both received and learned, or learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You wanna be able to have an anointing on your life like Paul had. You've got to get close to God. You've got to get to know God. You've got to be in a place where God will speak and you will listen. But then when you get through listening, you will get up and begin to act. Paul did so much. And when God lifted him up to that third heaven experience, God had to permit Satan to buffet him. When Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn from my flesh, and God didn't do it, but God rather told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Twice before God tells him that, he says he's done that, so Paul, translated, doesn't get a big head. And we got too many big-headed Christians who are super holy and super righteous. When they get a little close to God and want to condemn everybody else that isn't walking like they think they're walking, and act like they are all of that, and they, listen, they do more damage to the people of God and the kingdom of God than anything else. Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're spirit-filled. But don't act like you're the only one. And don't act like you've always been like that, because there is a record. Yeah. Somebody know what you've done before you got all holier than you are. So he wants us to participate. Do it, do it, do it, do it. See, the reward doesn't come until you do it. The labor is worthy of his
reward. He's worthy of his hire. He's worthy of his pay when he does it. The blessings of God come when you do them. All the words of this law. It means you don't have the privilege to pick and choose what you want to do, what you want to believe, how you want to act, and where you want to go, and how you want to present things. You got to do it his way or no way, because no other way is going to work. Jesus made that clear, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, my brothers and sisters, pass it on. Tell somebody that it is our responsibility as a believer to both be hearers and doers of the word of God. Pass it on. That God is not looking for folk who want to show up and don't want to grow up. Pass it on. That God is seeking true worshipers. He's tired of folk just being phony and coming to church and not having a spirit of love and a spirit of joy and a spirit of peace and a spirit of God, so that God can use them in the worship. Somebody's watching you. The question is, what are they seeing? Do they see Jesus in you? Do they see joy in you? Do they see the things that God would have you to show them? So, my brothers and sisters, it's important, as I close this message today, that we learn that once we get it, we've got to pass it on. Nothing the Lord has given to us is for us to keep. As it relates to his word, to his law, it is for us to pass it on. But what does that do? That encourages your brother. That strengthens your brother. That helps your brother. That shows your brother the way. When you pass it on, you help somebody else to become what God wants them to become. And my brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. Even on this day we celebrate as Father's Day, fathers had in the Old Testament a great responsibility to lead the family, to give the instructions he received from the priest to his family. In other words, when he received the instructions from the man of God and he went home, he was the priest of his house. And it was his responsibility to share with his wife and children what thus saith the Lord. And it was his responsibility to make sure that everything and everybody in his house lined up with the word of God. That's why Joshua said in 24:15, as for me and my house, we, can I say we? We means my children don't stay in bed while I go to Sunday school and church. We means that when I go to Bible study, everybody go to Bible study. We means that when I have devotion in the morning, everybody get up and have devotion in the morning. Y'all not talking to me, you kind of. It bothers me when parents give their children and teenagers a choice to go to church. Thank God for my mother. My mother's sitting here. My mother didn't let us choose whether. I told her many Sundays, I don't feel like going. She said, well, baby, when you get there, you're going to feel better.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E.